It's the latest on the Affordable Care Act and how states may be changing their plans if people can't sign up through the federal marketplace by January 1st.
Here in Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker moved 92,000 people off of Badger Care. The idea was that those people could sign up for the Affordable Care Act. They're going to lose their state Medicaid on January 1st, which may leave them without coverage altogether.
Last week, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett asked Scott Walker to extend coverage for those 92,000 people on Badger Care until March 31st.
Here with us to talk about what Wisconsin and other states are doing is Politico health reporter Kyle Chaney. Kyle, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be here.
So a lot of states are planning to phase out their insurance options in favor, as we're doing here in Wisconsin, of moving people onto what people are calling Obamacare. Where is that happening? Where did you look at?
It's happening in different spots around the country. It's particularly some of the sickest residents who have been part of these so-called high-risk pools for a long time. They're being moved, they're supposed to be moved over to the new exchanges that are going live on January 1st. But as you mentioned, the problems that they've experienced so far is leading to some fears that they'll be without coverage. You also mentioned in Wisconsin, and it's a particularly special case because they're moving so many enrollees in Badger Care onto the exchanges. And so I think Wisconsin, almost more than any other state, is depending on the exchanges to be running well, and so far they haven't been.
And so a lot of states are feeling a bit of panic. Are these people going to be able to be registered when this cutoff date happens?
Exactly. We're seeing within the states some maneuvers now, just some contingency plans to say, oh, no, if these exchanges aren't ready to go when these people who are losing coverage need to get on the exchange, we better have some plan Bs in place. So I think we may hear more about that the closer we get to January 1st if there isn't resolution. But you are starting to see governors and legislatures start to take some emergency actions here to protect their residents.
Well, we'll look at some of the other states, but let's start with Wisconsin. What are you seeing here? How does Wisconsin compare to other states juggling this issue?
You know, it's funny because, as I mentioned, Wisconsin is probably most dependent on the exchanges working because of how many people are being moved over. But they're also in a position now where they need this to work. So I talked to some senior officials there in the health department and the insurance department who said, you know, we're taking the Obama administration's word that this site's going to be up and running by the end of November. But as you mentioned, too, we're hearing some increasing pressure, you know, particularly from Democrats, to be honest, who are actually supportive of the health law, saying, you know, we need a plan B in place. And right now there isn't necessarily a contingency. But I think, again, the closer we get to the end of this month without a solution to the federal problems that we're seeing, you may start to hear more about what do we do for those 92,000 people.
So run down some examples from our other states here in the Midwest and how they're tackling this issue.
Indiana is one where I mentioned high-risk pools, where Indiana has about 6,800 residents enrolled in this high-risk pool. They're some of the sickest. And what they've done is, you know, the governor there has moved to spend state money, millions of dollars that they shouldn't have had to if the exchange was running properly, on extending their coverage an extra month into 2014, and with leaving open the option to extend it further if problems persist. We see in Detroit, there was initially a plan to move some early retirees onto the exchange, I think it was about 7,500, and they're going to be they remain in their current coverage again at the expense of the city. So, you know, those are the kind of options, smaller scale right now, things that we're seeing, but it is a sign of building momentum for states to step in on their own and cities as well.
In talking to the officials doing this, are you getting a sense that they're not real happy that they're seeing the need to do this?
Frustration is sort of the magic word right now, and I think that's where it's staying to this point. I think frustration could spill over into something more serious if the administration's assurances that by end of November things will be up and running smoothly don't pan out. Then you may start to see some real recriminations here. And you know, we don't know what that world looks like, because right now the administration has said that this will be without doubt up and running. But you know, it's a tall order that they even acknowledge is an aggressive and ambitious timetable. But I think until then, they're sort of keeping things calm by saying they'll have it up and running.
Wisconsin's one of the many states that left it to the federal government to relying on the federal exchanges. A number of states, though, did their own exchange system. Are they doing any better? Are they seeing a better picture now?
It's hit or miss in the states. On the whole, yes, the states that are running things on their own have reported much smoother experiences. In particular, Washington, Kentucky, and even California are reporting experiences that have been far better than states relying on the federal government. But you've also got states like Vermont where they're saying, you know, we're not ready to go here. In Vermont, the governor there extended current insurance plans. Or move to extend current insurance plans to make sure people get enrolled or don't lose coverage on January 1st, as we mentioned was possible in Wisconsin. And there's a couple other states where they're eyeing solutions like that because enrollment hasn't worked smoothly.
Do you get a sense on either side of states saying, ah, geez, we should have gone the other way, we should have gone with a federal instead of our state one, or we should have done our own state thing and not relied on the feds?
Not so much in the state implementing it, but I think at least as part of the political discussion, you hear a lot of Democrats and supporters of the Affordable Care Act saying, hey, you know, for all those Republicans who are complaining now that things aren't working, if they had just built it themselves, they wouldn't be going through this. So that's proof that their obstruction, you know, was actually detrimental to their own people. But on the other side, you know, you're not hearing a lot of, oh, well, maybe we should reconsider now. In Wisconsin, they said, look, our taxpayers have already paid for a federal website to work. We're not going to spend taxpayer dollars on a state-run website, too.
President Obama apologized today to people who are losing their health care. Are those really the people being kicked off Badger Care that he's talking to?
Those are not the people he's talking to, and that's why Wisconsin is such a special case. He's talking to people on the individual insurance market. These are people who don't get coverage through their employer, a lot of freelancers, people who work, part-time jobs or self-employed. Those are the people, 5% of the population in the country, who are losing their health coverage in large part because they don't meet the standards of the Affordable Care Act. The president, when he promised that people could keep their health plans if they liked them, you know, now he's saying, well, I didn't mean those people. And I think that's where some of the anger is coming. And so his apology was really aimed at them.
And what is having to make this apology mean for President Obama and his administration? How bad is it? How bad is the political fallout for them?
It's a game changer. And I think, you know, the president's and the administration's idea is that this will help turn the page on that and rebuild some momentum. And then, you know, assuming that the law does get up and start working more smoothly, this will be an episode that's forgotten. But it does change the game because politically that you know, Republicans now say, well, if he's apologizing, why he should be open to some legislative changes to make this law less harmful to the people who are losing their plans. So they're going to be pushing that way more aggressively. I think, at least in the short term, they're going to be motivated to get the president on board with some of the changes they're proposing. So it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Do you have a sense that what the federal government is saying is right, that they'll have the system, the website, mostly up and running by the end of the month?
Well, they've left little room for little room for themselves on this. And, you know, in our experience talking to tech experts and to administration officials themselves, they acknowledge that that's a pretty ambitious schedule and no guarantee. Politically, they've left themselves no wiggle room, but they continue to report daily progress and knocking items off their so-called punch list of problems that they're trying to tackle. But, you know, the tech experts we talk to say that's no guarantee. December 1st is not a sure bet. And then, again, all bets are off as to what the fallout would look like.
And do you see, to wrap up, more states doing what you had looked at in places like Indiana, looking at maybe extending various kinds of insurance?
I think for the most part, states are being a little coy about it because they're hopeful, whether they support this law or not, they're hopeful that this enrollment system gets a little smoother so they don't have to take those kind of emergency actions. We've seen it, again, in Indiana, extending coverage. They really were worried about the sickest people losing care, so that's a really dire situation. And so I think they felt like they had no choice. And I think some states feel like they still have a choice as long as that November timetable's met.
All right, Kyle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Kyle Chaney. He's healthcare reporter at Politico.